Hello, is that Áine McGillicuddy on the phone?
You certainly do. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm here now.
Good morning, Áine. Well, you were probably there all the time, but we didn't pick you up. Listen.
I could hear you perfectly.
Good.
Enjoy the music.
Thank you. We're having a lively show here.
Now,
Áine, I just, you know, for local listeners, and obviously this will be podcast across the world afterwards, but we want to give you your seed breeding generation, and we want to establish that you are from Tumgraney, County Clare. We have to also say you are Tim and Anna McGillicuddy's daughter. I know everybody's going to know that, but we just feel we have to say those things.
I certainly am. Yes, I'm Tim and Anna's daughter. There are not too many McGillicuddy's in County Clare anyway, I would say. So
that's it. You're a very distinctive name.
Yes, there's a connection, I say. Yes.
Now, I'm also going to give you your formal title, and that is that you are assistant professor in the School of Applied Language and Intercultural Studies at DCU. So we are very, very pleased to host you here. And on the panel, you have Paul Bogler, who I know you'll know well, and also Cliona Donlan. So hello. Maybe you want to say hello.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Áine.
Hi, Áine. Okay. How are you?
So, Áine, the reason that we're so interested in this is because we've already spoken with Paul Brennan and we've spoken with Liam Pearl about Ernest coming here to coming from Germany here. But you have written and looked into, researched the bigger project. So, can you put the kind of the national picture together of Operation? Shamrock.
Yes, certainly. So Operation Shamrock was an initiative begun by a society in Dublin. It started in the Shelburne Hotel in 1945, and it was called Save the German Children's Society, and it was set up by two women who were doctors, Dr. Kathleen Farrell and Dr. Kathleen Lynn. And they were very concerned about the plight of German children just in the aftermath of World War II in Germany. Many of the cities in Germany had been heavily bombed. Many children were orphaned. They were malnourished. They were on the brink of starvation, in fact. And this time in Germany is known as the Trümmerzeit, so the time of rubble. So it was a really horrendous time. And as usual, children were the victims that suffered most in this situation. So they set up this society to try and bring children to Ireland from Germany and to be fostered by Irish families. However, some of their members were considered to be very anti-British. For example, Maud Gonne was a founding member of the society. So the British authorities didn't want this society to be involved in bringing German children from, particularly from the Ruhr area, over to Ireland. And you might ask, well, what had the British to do with this anyway?
Yes, I'm certainly going to ask that.
So the British actually were governing that part of Germany after the war, the area around the Rhine Ruhr area. So they would issue the exit visas for these children. So they refused to deal with the Save the German Children Society, and the Irish Red Cross got involved. So they brought over 400 German children in total to Ireland between the ages of 3 to 15 years old. And the reason why I wrote an article on this just around this time is because the 27th of July, just 4 days ago, in 1946, that marks the 75th anniversary of the arrival of the first 88 of those German children by boat into Dunleary and subsequently then on to stay with foster families. Some of them for 3 years, most of them for 3 years, but 50 of those children remained for life in Ireland, including Ernst Breckenhire, who came to me in Shannon.
Yeah. Áine, was there some connection with this being a Catholic area? Is there something about that, or did I read that somewhere?
Yes, you're spot on, exactly, yes. So the reason most of the children came from this one particular area in Germany, around the Cologne area mainly, was because, first of all, it was one of the hardest hit areas, one of the worst bombed areas of Germany by the Allied forces in World War II. But also there were connections there through Catholic organisations and Catholic families were keen in Ireland to foster Catholic children. And there was a stipulation that 20% of the children were to be Protestant as well. So Protestant children did come and they were fostered by Protestant families.
And do we know the criteria of how those children were selected? Besides, you know, obviously the religious denominational thing, but were they orphans or were they, how did they select the children?
Yeah, it seems to have been mainly children who were in, well, they were all in vulnerable positions, but those who were in particularly vulnerable situations, so orphans, yes, most definitely. So many children, of course, had lost their fathers either, you know, through the war or they were prisoners of war. But then some of the, sadly, their mothers also perished. Not all the children were orphans, however. Some of them, you know, came from families where there at least was a mother or perhaps an uncle or aunt looking after them. But they found it very difficult to feed all the children. So this is why some of these children were put forward or volunteered themselves in some cases to come to Ireland.
Yeah. So do you think it was traumatic for many of them to leave Germany at that time? Or did they see that as being a good thing to do to get out of the war torn situation, the effects of war?
Yes, so it seems to have been very mixed in that regard. And, you know, child psychology at the time wasn't really taken on board. So, yes, some of the children were didn't really realise they were coming for 3 years. You know, if you read Monica Brandis's book, she wrote an excellent book in which she interviews 18 of those German children who came. And some of them in their interviews say that they thought they were just going on a holiday to Ireland. They didn't really realise what they were signing up for. Others were really keen to get away. Some of them were not in very stable kind of situations in Germany. So they were keen to come here. I know one of these German men, Herbert Remmel, he's already written, he wrote a memoir that he published in 2009. And all he wanted to do was live on a farm. And he dreamed of coming to Ireland. And he simply informed his mother, he wasn't an orphan, simply informed her that he was going to go. He was going to sign up for Operation Shamrock.
Good for
and
him.
He had a wonderful time in Mayo for 3 years.
Yeah. Paul, have you a question for Anya?
No, hi, Anya.
Hello, Paul.
How are you? No, it's just in listening to it here, I don't know if you heard the earlier part when we had Paul Brennan here talking about The Hook and the Heart, the 1994 production here in Scariff, out of East Clare. But he mentioned it here a couple of times from the community theatre perspective, the using the past to inform what it is that's happening there. I just wonder how you feel using the past to inform what it is here to deal with the future, even in the context of refugees or in the context of movement of people. That's what strikes me about this whole story now. In looking back in the 40s and 50s, how do we or how can we apply that to the world we live in today using that?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Well, I think this is why in my article I particularly focus on, you know, or bemoan the lack of cultural treatments of these episodes in history because they really stimulate empathy. So we can learn a lot from the past and from past stories and apply it to the present. And we've never had so many refugees on the move in the world as we have today. It's often compared actually to the World War II situation. So we can learn a lot about the past to think about how we are dealing with current crises, you know. And it was astounding how generous Irish people were in 1946 in taking in these children. Ireland was a very poor country itself at the time. And maybe, yeah, to make us reflect on that and to think about how we're dealing with, you know, our reception of refugees today.
It's probably
current conflicts.
One of the biggest issues, or will be definitely continue to be a huge issue on a kind of a world stage, would you agree,
exactly,
for the next generation at least?
Certainly would. Yeah, that and climate change, I think they're the two big issues. And they're intertwined in a way as well, because we will have, refugees from environmental crises.
Anya, tell me where your own interest in this story comes from. I know you're a German scholar and, you know, and you look at you study literature. How did you become interested in this particular story?
Yeah, that's true. I lecture in German history and German literature in DCU. But my own research has focused a lot on experiences of exile in terms of children's experiences of exile from Germany. So there's a whole branch of literature in German studies called Exilliteratur, exile literature, which is simply existing because of all of those writers and intellectuals and artists who had to flee Nazi Germany. But one thing I thought was quite overlooked was the experiences of children as well, or of writers for children in that. So I began to do a lot of research on German Jewish child exiles initially, and also the Kinder Transport rescue operation, which inspired Operation Shamrock. That was a much more dramatic rescue operation, which existed for about a year before the outbreak of World War II. It was initiated by the UK, and they saved over 10,000 Jewish children.
Now, Anya, did we contribute in Ireland to that? Did we take in Jewish refugees before the Second World War?
Well, in the north of Ireland, they did, as part of the UK. So there was a farm set up in County Down, Mill Isle Farm. They took in about 70 of these kinder, as they're called, and they ran their farm on kibbutz principles. Mm-hmm. But in the south, we have our track record is much better for Operation Shamrock. Okay. About 300 Jewish refugees came. Mm-hmm. So not a lot when you consider the UK saved 10,000 Jewish children. That's where my initial focus was on that operation. But then I was invited to give a paper at a conference on children and childhood experiences in 20th century Ireland. So being a Germanist, I tried to look for a German angle, and that's where I began to really research Operation Shamrock.
And Anya, just Cliona here coming in, and just wondering in the context, I know when you do such research like that, there's often some new questions, I suppose, or insights emerging from moving forward. Just on a personal level for yourself, if you were to say what the primary way of approaching that empathetic way of embracing refugees into Ireland, what way would you go about it, or what would be your suggestion moving forward?
Well, I suppose I'm an academic first and foremost, and a literary scholar. So it's the importance of remembering or commemorating events like these through culture, through literature. That's why I was delighted when I heard about A Hook in the Heart, Paul Brennan's play. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I'm sorry I missed it. I was living abroad those years, so I missed the play. I think I knew most people who were acting in it.
Yeah, sure you did.
But there are so few cultural treatments of this episode, and I do think that it has such an important role to play. Very few people know about Operation Shamrock, and I think people would know about it.
Is it a case that we need to bring it more awareness into the educational system?
And a great way to do that with children and young people is through literature.
Anya, can I just make reference to the fact that we picked up this story, should I say, Geraldine Cullerin picked up this story through Brainstorm, which is an RTE initiative. So tell us about how that worked.
Yeah, so RTE Brainstorm issues calls to academics in various third level institutions around Ireland to contribute a short piece of writing on whatever we're researching, but for a more general audience, to avoid our, the usual academic kind of lingo that we use, I suppose. And I went along to one of the information sessions on Brainstorm, and I thought, well, this would actually be something of interest to the general public, and because the 75th anniversary was coming up of the arrival of the first Operation Shamrock children, I thought it was kind of a good time to get that piece out there.
And actually, you've got me hooked onto it. I don't know how many Brainstorms I looked at last night.
I know, they're great.
They are great.
You learn a lot.
Anya, can you just make reference to the statue that's in Stephen's Green that commemorates this, please?
So that was a statue dedicated to the fledgling, I suppose, Irish Republic at the time, 1956. It was dedicated, sent to Ireland. It was it's a sculpture called the Three Fates, the Fountain of the Three Fates, and it was sculpted by Josef Bakala, who was a renowned German sculptor. And it was seen. It's a token of gratitude to the Irish Republic for our help in the aftermath of World War II. So that not only includes Operation Shamrock, but it also recognises the very generous donations, monetary donations, of the Irish Republic to Germany in, just after the war. And we were actually one of the, we were the first nation in terms of donations, which is quite astounding, you know, given how poor Ireland was itself at
yes.
the time.
Yeah, I'm just struck listening to Anya there, what she said there. And I think it's this philosophy that politics always swims downstream of culture. Culture is the really important thing, and politics comes out of that. But there's just one little thing there that, as we talk about this, the commemorative statue in Stephen's Green, I don't know whether this is true or not, but maybe Anya might have an opinion. It kind of maybe goes into the sporting sphere, whether this is an actual fact. Luke here might have an opinion as well. The German football soccer team in the 40s couldn't get games anywhere. And they got a game against the Republic of Ireland with the FAI as a friendly. And in yes. commemoration for that, their strip, their away strip now is green. Is that a true story? Is that a true story? We all know the German jersey with the white and the red, black and yellow. But their away strip, which we do see at various tournaments, is a green. But I've heard that strip commemorates the fact that Ireland were the only country that agreed to play them
it's
in soccer. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. Or did you ever hear
yeah,
that
I'm
one
not
on?
Sure. I know that Ireland was one of the first countries to play Germany after the war, yes, in football. But I'm not sure about the colour of the strip, but it sounds plausible.
Yes, it does for sure. But it was one of the, you know, it's one of the better international gestures, or whatever the word is, activism that was done. It was done with such open hearts. And the fact that we can tell this story in this beautiful location overlooking Sheedy's Farm, which is where Ernest went to, that it's very special to us around here, I think, Anya.
Yes, I was fascinated when I heard there was a more personal link, you know, with East Clare when I was researching Operation Shamrock, because my parents brought this up. We were just discussing Operation Shamrock in general. I was telling them about the conference paper I was giving, and they mentioned Paul Brennan's play to me. So I was delighted, you know, when I heard, you know, that I thought that was really special, that there was this special, you know, this connection with Mount Shannon and East Clare in general.
Yes. Yeah. Anya, I'd like to thank you very much for being our guest on Scariff Bay Community Radio and for this great paper that you've written. I hope that lots of people, it will be widely shared so that people become more familiar with the story. And I know there are a couple of documentaries that were made, so maybe we can find those too and promote those to, you know, and you noted them in your paper. So if people want to read it, what you've written, they should go to the RTE website and type in Brainstorm and your name and the operation or Operation Shamrock and your article will come up. Is that right?
That's true. Yeah, it's easy enough to find.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.